with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Happy Friday. Back half of Sabres Live here, and Senators are the team of the day. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that their offense regressed a little bit. I do wonder, like, they were 19th last year in goals for per game, 13th in goals against. So obviously proponents of defensive hockey win because their higher ranking in goals against got them into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know where they ranked in shooting percentage at 5-on-5?
I'm going to say they were 12th.
Nope.
Well, I kind of went down the middle, so it's either they're very good or very bad.
Very bad, you know that, because they didn't score a lot.
Yeah, but so, I thought, like, I didn't think of them as a shooting team, and I just, maybe I should have known. So, I don't know if you saw the Bar Down groups did a thing with Matthew Tkachuk, Brady Tkachuk, and Keith Tkachuk, because they're on the cover of, EA Sport, and they were doing the Mighty Ducks challenge, basically stopping before the cans and shooting a puck on edge. And Brady is about to shoot, and Keith goes, maybe they should put an orange sticker on the glass because you always miss the net. So I should have known that their shooting percentage was low, although a missed shot doesn't count for shooting percentage, but that should have been my sign that the Ottawa Senators did not have a good shooting percentage.
They did have a good power play last year
at
almost 24%. So this, of course, was a 5-on-5 question, which, you know, probably bears repeating here that the Sabres were actually tied with Washington for the best shooting percentage at 5-on-5. Like, these are things to keep in mind when you're like, it's not to say that you should expect a drop-off, but you also need to realize that they were among the very best in the NHL in shooting percentage at 5-on-5. Now, they had to be based on how poor their special teams ended up being, right? Mm-hmm. But the fact that Buffalo was keeping company with Washington at the top of the league in shooting percentage, while Ottawa was 30th, only the lowly, offensively challenged Calgary Flames and the even worse Nashville Predators ranked below them. So it was a tough, tough season for them to find that success. And you're right. Like, they're not the most gifted, the most dominant offensive team. Like, they don't have this crazy high percentage of high danger chances. They're not swarming at all times. But if you look at their depth and their forwards, let's say they're three lines, do you think they should score more? And should they expect to score more, i.e. get more from Cousins, more from Pinto, more from Ridley Gregg, and can they actually count on David Perron to still be able to get more than 20 goals at this age and where he might slot on the depth chart, which could be as high as a second liner?
It may be as high as a second liner right now. And I do believe they need more out of David Perron. They need more out. Like, Dylan Cousins went there, and everybody in Ottawa was like, oh my gosh, look, hey, look at the performance. He had an assist here. And then it dried up, right? It was a boost early on, and then it just slowed down. Mm-hmm. And I think that is something that cannot happen for Cousins and the Ottawa Senators to have success. You can't go Tkachuk, Stützle, and then boom, Cousins, like, it's not going. David Perron, it's not going. What's Drake Batherson going to do if he's playing on that line, or Claude Giroux? Or you didn't have a 30-goal scorer last year. You didn't have an 80-points guy. You can have success that way. They proved it. But you're going to rely on your middle six a ton. And right now, I've got my reservations when it comes to the middle six being able to perform. Because Perron's getting older, Giroux's getting older. Like, that's a big difference.
Right, but they have youth. I mean, obviously Cousins fits the youth profile still. with 5 years remaining on his deal. Zetterlund comes in. He's averaged 20 goals a year the last 2 years. He's only 25. They obviously like him enough to give him the deal at over $4 million that he got. So I think youth is still very much on this team's side. And the fact that they had the strong finishing kick, I can't even remember what you said with Montreal, because whether they would make the playoffs next year, did you say yes or no? Whether
the, I don't. I said no.
So what about Ottawa?
I think Ottawa, yes.
Really?
I know how it comes down to Ullmark, and I like their defense, and they have youth on defense. Jake Sanderson's fantastic. Thomas Chabot is still, to me, a really, really solid player on the blue line, more offensively minded, but Artem Zub is good. Now they've got Jordan Spence.
They like Tyler Cleven, too. So
Tyler Cleven, they like, and the other one is Jensen. So they've got a group on the back end that I think is really solid. They've got a really good goaltender, maybe even a good tandem if Levi Mäkinen continued to play the way that he did when he was up. And it comes down to that to me. Again, the Ottawa Senators, 2 years ago, it was, can they get saves? Because if they can get saves, they'll be fine. Mm-hmm. They did last year. 31st in save percentage all the way up to 8. The Sabres were 31st in save percentage this last season. I'm not asking them to get to 8, but the Ottawa Senators are kind of proving the point here.
Yeah.
You're getting saves. All of a sudden, remember how often Brady Tkachuk was angry and mad and slamming his stick and going back to the bench pouty and after a goal that they'd given up? Like, yeah, you're not getting saves. You're going to be like that. All of a sudden, it was different last year. Brady Tkachuk's a great leader, and you know he's positive. And but yeah, because it's easier to play when you don't give up 4 goals a game. That's that's the basic. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, it's funny.
You like my Brady Tkachuk pouting and slamming his stick, and because that's all it was. They had an ISO camera on him going back to the bench, and it would be like he was so moody. It changed a little last year.
Yeah. Well, you know, yesterday we went down that path because of the ongoing debate. Is Tage Thompson a center or a winger? And we knew this Ottawa discussion was coming, and we talked a lot about just how interchangeable on the dot, the faceoff dot, you know, Stützle and Tkachuk are. I dove in a little deeper. Like, so Stützle as a number one center just simply does not take a lot of faceoffs. On his team, Giroux, Pinto, Norris all took more draws last year. But what I found even more fascinating was on power plays, Tim Stützle took 10 faceoffs last year.
Yeah.
Brady Tkachuk, winger, took 140. Mm-hmm. And that's why when we were having the kind of like those are the moments where I constantly see Brady Tkachuk in the middle, right? Every time you're in that high-pressure power play situation, you're almost always seeing Brady Tkachuk or Claude Giroux take the draw. And even Claude's not, you know, like, he's more a winger right now.
No, he is a winger. Like,
He took 128 power play faceoffs last year. He took 204 shorthanded faceoffs. Claude Giroux was counted on as a faceoff guy, even though he's not, like, their number one center.
But what's Tim Stützle's best asset? He's got a good shot.
Of course.
He's got a great shot. So you're not going to put him in a face-off dot.
Exactly.
You're
going
to put him in a position to shoot.
Exactly.
So you're like, hey, it's like Tage Thompson on the power play. Would you want him to take the draw?
No.
And then you got to wait for everybody to be set up? No. You're like, hey, let's put him off to the side. And we're not going to wait for the penalty killers to be ready. Mm-hmm. We're going to win a draw and get it to you right away. Stützle is the same way. So it's weird because it doesn't make sense. You have a center and he's taken 10 power play draws, but you look at their setup and you're like, okay, that works because he's got to shoot, right? Mm-hmm. So he's got to get himself open for a shot.
But maybe
not that Ovechkin would take faceoffs, but there's players that you're like, you're the shooter. We put you in that position.
And guess what? We talked a lot about Sidney Crosby the last 2 days. Sid will take the faceoff on the power play and it'll be on the doorstep and back door before you know it, and it's in the back of the net. So it doesn't really matter.
But he's technically not the shooter, so it's got to go through a shooter, like a Malkin that's open for the one-timer and finding Sidney somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, I did, and I don't, you know, these are better served, obviously, for the local reporters and broadcasters in Ottawa to evaluate. But you see enough of them. And like, when you think of Stützle, I mean, his point production has been phenomenal and, yeah. and his contract well-earned. Do you see him, like, still evolving as an all-round center? And I say this, again, this minor footnote of face-offs that we just kind of stumbled on here the last two, and it's not a result, clearly. We haven't even been talking about the results of these draws. We're just talking about it from a structure and positioning standpoint. Like, Stützle doesn't take a lot of defensive zone draws.
Yeah.
So, and again, that's not unusual. You have players that you count on in those situations, but at the same time, would you expect in a few more years that Stützle would be this all situations, all zones, has to be out there kind of guy? Or do you think the addition of Dylan Cousins changes this, that they hope that Cousins is more of that type of player? And I don't even know what you think of Shane Pinto's upside and what you think he's going to become in all of this Ottawa.
I think Tim Stützle is more of a one-dimension type of player. I don't see him turning into an overall kind of first-line center that's going to check the top lines. Like, I think if you're Ottawa, you have Stützle, you have to say, okay, we're not going top line against top line. We have to find a different matchup mm-hmm. because we have to think of Cousins probably playing against the top line or even Claude Giroux. Last year in the Selke voting, Claude Giroux finished 25th in Selke voting. Behind, like, Joel Eriksson-Ek and Pierre-Luc Dubois and Alexis Protas and Robert Thomas, like, people are thinking Giroux is the defensive guy with Ottawa that can move up and down the lineup and play middle or wing. Mm-hmm. Stützle is not that guy. Pinto could be a good option if mm-hmm. you were thinking an upgrade. Like, Montreal has this guy, Jake Evans. Evans is a third, fourth liner.
But he got rewarded
with a nice contract. Mm-hmm. But Pinto has more upside offensively, I think, than Jake Evans.
Of course, yeah.
But could be that same type of guy where you're down in the lineup, but you're thought of being a top guy. Philippe Deneau. Philippe Deneau is the little same thing. Like, Deneau is not top two centers in LA. It's mm-hmm. Kopitar, it's Byfield. But if you ask around the league, who's a defensive center that should be a top six but doesn't play there? Deneau is one of them. Yeah. Evans is one of them. And Pinto could probably be that same type. It's not Stützle.
So what's your outlook for Dylan Cousins now?
I'd like for Dylan Cousins, I would want him to be a 25 goals, 35 assists, 60 point. I think that would be a good standard for him to try to get to. I'm a little bit concerned that will not be, because you're looking at last year, Cousins was 16 points in 21 games, but 5 goals. If you were to prorate his 5 goals in 21 games over 82, that's it's not even 20.
It's basically 20, though. Like,
yeah, but I mean, is 20 enough for Dylan Cousins?
Right. No. Very it's fair not, question.
It's not I mean, enough. No. 25 to 30 is enough. 20 is not enough. Yeah, I mean, if he got 24, I'd say, okay, that's good. But 19, 20 is not enough for Dylan Cousins. He plays the top power play. He mm-hmm. plays top 6 minutes. It's got to be more. So it's got to be 25 to 30 goals. It's got to be 65 points. Like, that's the standard that he has to be able to find.
Is there a breakout player in Ottawa that we should expect something, you know, something for, I mean, again,
you know,
like,
you know, I'm interesting in finding out this year, and he signed a 2-way deal, and maybe he starts as lower in the lineup, but he could elevate and play in the place of a David Perron if Perron doesn't work or whatever, would be Arthur Kaliev.
Oh my gosh. I told you last year he wasn't going to make the Kings, and that was pretty accurate, and then he didn't latch on with the Rangers.
On with the Rangers, and he was put on waivers and everything. But
yeah,
I feel like I want to keep my eyes on him.
Well, it's worth the risk for sure. I mean,
a two-way deal for to be your 13th forward.
Yeah,
he's got skills.
100%. For his sake, I mean, in his best moments, which were short-lived, he was very good with LA, and then it all, you know, kind of came crashing down. But yeah, the Senators have that extra bit of depth everywhere, and of course, they have the experience now of getting in and not necessarily doing it the hard way. I mean, they had some hot streaks last year where people were talking about them, and then it kept going the wrong way, and it didn't turn until March, and that's when they had that 16-5-3 finish to get them into the playoffs.
You know, quickly, yeah, because I wanted to verify the information, but you know who was Arthur Kaliev's GM when he played juniors with the Hamilton Bulldogs?
Probably Steos.
Steve Steos was his GM, so that's why he went and got him. And maybe there's a reignition of the flame that lived in Arthur Kaliev in 3 years with the Hamilton Bulldogs.
Well, belief is a powerful thing, and sometimes you just needed that added reinforcement of somebody saying, hey, I believe in you. So we'll keep an eye on Kaliev for sure with Ottawa. We will remind you again, I feel like I haven't done this enough lately. Enter to win,
yes,
a key to the arena, including Sabres and Bandits season ticket memberships for the 25-26 season, and pairs of tickets to 5 upcoming KeyBank Center live events. You can enter to win this one-of-a-kind prize at sabres.com/key. Birthdays and more to close out another week on Sabres Live right after this.